And joining me right now here on a Monday to kick off the week and recap Championship Sunday is my good friend Brian Bosarge with Draft Countdown, who, yes, is a gigantic Cincinnati Bengals fan as well. Brian, how you doing?
Mark, I got to tell you, I've been better, a little sad, had 12 hours to stew on it a little bit. So not as upset as I was last night, but, you know, it's a sad day for Bengals fans.
Why did the Chiefs win this football game?
I mean, they just executed better when it counted. I mean, the Bengals had, people are going to complain about the officiating, and rightfully so, because it was awful. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the Bengals had two opportunities in the red zone last night where they came away with a 26-yard field goal and like a 30-yard field goal. You can't do that against a team as good as the Chiefs and expect to win. You've got to score touchdowns in those situations. And if you score touchdowns in those situations, we're not even talking. We're talking about the Bengals going to the Super Bowl right now instead of, you know, why they lost to Kansas City.
What was going through your mind when Mahomes scrambles for the first down? There's 8 seconds to go, and then the flag is thrown for the late hit out of bounds.
I mean, by the letter of the law, it should be a flag. He barely touched him, but, you know, it's protect Mahomes and protect the quarterbacks and all that. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, it was a penalty. It was a deserved penalty. I hate that poor Joseph Asai, because he played a great game last night. He's going to be a big-time contributor for the Bengals going forward. But, I mean, it sucks that, you know, that's all people are going to remember about him from this game was that play. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you go from kicking a 60-yard field goal to try to win and to kicking a like a 45-yard field goal. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
I felt like in that fourth quarter, the Bengals had chances, and they just couldn't convert, like late. They're on offense. They just couldn't make that one more play. And, dude, I'll just say this as your friend. The way the Bengals play in all these playoff games, it's always close. It's never like you win by 21 or lose by 21. It just happened. Is that how you feel about it when you look at this team in the postseason?
Well, that was like the game against Buffalo. I never felt worried in that game at all. And, I mean, they won by 17 points and everything. But the Baltimore game and this game last night, yes, and all the games they played last year, it was nail-biters. And, you know, it's you think we'd get used to it by now, but I was halfway through the Tums jar last night by the third quarter, and it was just – it was insane. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, live and let live. They'll be back again. This team's very young. Most of the core is coming back. So we'll see how it happens again next season.
Dude, that's how I feel, where this thing ain't over. Like it's a great boxing duel. All right, Bengals got the first one. Chiefs got it last night. Don't you feel like deep in your heart as a Bengals fan, these two teams will meet again in the playoffs moving forward?
It certainly feels that way, and you felt that way last week when they beat Buffalo. Like, this is not the last time they're going to see that team either. I would almost anticipate, because they will play Kansas City in the regular season again next year, and if Kansas City does win the Super Bowl, that might be that Thursday night kickoff game there, Cincinnati at Kansas City. I think that'd be a pretty big draw for NBC there if Kansas City does end up winning the Super Bowl. So, we'll see. But, yes, they're not going away. Kansas City's not going away. Buffalo's not going away. I don't know that Jacksonville's going to go away, especially if they add more pieces this offseason. It's the AFC's going to be tough again next year.
I agree with you. We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. Listening to the game where it's Nance and Romo, and they keep saying Mahomes is pretty much Michael Jordan, and this is his flu game. Were you vomiting in your seat last night listening to all this nonsense?
What happened to Tony Romo? I mean, he was good like 2 years ago, right? I mean, he was one of the – and now everybody – and that's the first time I ever – even in the game against Buffalo last week, I didn't really pay attention to the commentary as much. But last night, I heard it all, and I'm like, Tony Romo is just – I don't know what happened to the guy. He was like one of the best in the booth, and now it's like I don't want to listen to him again.
He literally said, this is Jordan versus Clyde Drexler, 92. So his analogy is that Joe Burrow is like Clyde Drexler. Do you agree with that or disagree?
If Burrow's Clyde Drexler, I don't know.
I know.
I get it. The Bengals have been playing that, you know, And I took that personally from the Last Dance series all year long. And so it kind of got reversed on them last night. It is what it is.
You don't sound happy, and I don't blame you. I really don't. You just...
I'm really not, Mark.
Did you sleep last night, or what happened?
NyQuil is your friend, sir. NyQuil is your friend.
I don't condone that for the children, but I understand. I'll just say that on the air. Okay, Mr. Bosarge. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're a guy that covers the NFL draft. How impressive was their 2022 draft class, where it looks like 1 through 7, someone was helping the Chiefs this year, and especially yesterday?
It's a testament to their scouting department and their GM. I mean, they found players that fit their team. And it goes back to 2021 when they found Creed Humphrey, who several teams, including the Bengals, passed over. And I was so upset about that. Bengals traded down in the second round and passed over him twice. And he's been an all-pro both years he's been in the league. Trey Smith is a sixth-round pick, fell in 2021 as well. He's been a stud right guard for them. And he was my number 16 overall player in that class. Creed Humphrey was my number 14 overall player in that class. I love both of those guys. Both fell, you know, in Kansas City, took them. And this year they're getting contributions from seventh-round picks. Pacheco, how big was he last night as the check down back for Kansas City? Didn't do much on the ground, but as Mahomes, you know, last check, just awesome. And their two corners, they got contributions from the corner. Jalen Watson was a seventh-round pick, played at the Senior Bowl last year. Joshua Williams was another guy, was at the Senior Bowl last year. Big contributions. So, yeah, I mean, it was tremendous the way they attacked the draft last year and the year before. And just look how they're getting cheap core roster players now for the next 3 or 4 years.
So is that the game plan if you're a football team where, look, you're just going to have to rely on the draft to build around your superstars the way the Chiefs did then?
Yes. I mean, and you have to, that's why, you know, events like this week, the Senior Bowl starting, are so important. You've got to find these guys because you're going to, especially if you're a team like Kansas City, you're paying Mahomes is what, X percent, 25%, 30% of your salary cap, right? That's about to happen with Cincinnati with Burrow when he gets the big mega extension here in the next couple of months, right? So you're going to have to hit on these mid to late round draft picks because you're going to need these guys who are making $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 to be key cogs in your bill going forward. And you saw that with the Bengals last night. They have not drafted. They've tried to draft offensive line depth over the last couple of years, but they're not finding the right guys. Like they've drafted guys in the fourth, fifth round that just haven't stepped up and played well. And that it's killed them last night with the way Chris Jones just dominated the game. It was very reminiscent of Aaron Donald in the Super Bowl last year, the way Jones dominated this game because they started lining him up against Hakeem Adeniji, who was a sixth-round pick for the Bengals, started lining him up over the right guard, Max Sharping, who was a, you know, waiver wire pickup. They're just not – the Bengals failed at hitting on those offensive line picks the way the Chiefs did.
We're here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. Okay, we've gone about 8 or 9 minutes. Now give me your thoughts on the refs last night.
I mean, it was bad. I mean, they seem to, like, if you look at it in a vacuum, the calls the Chiefs were getting, the Bengals were not. There was a play, they called the intentional grounding on Burrow when I thought P. Ryan was in the area.
Yeah.
Where if you look at another play similar to that, earlier in the game where Mahomes threw it away and the ball landed at Travis Kelce's feet about the same distance that the ball landed at Piron's, you know, he threw Piron. Right. So you look at that, the people were calling for the hold on Mahomes' run. But by the letter of the rule book, those weren't holds. I'm fine with that. They seemed to miss two blocks in the back on the big punt return that set up that last drive. So that was pretty egregious in my part. And then there was other just the whole third and 10 fiasco where they reset the ball and gave the Chiefs another down and they call a crap defensive pass interference penalty on Eli Apple. It just seemed like the refs were definitely more to the Chiefs. But, you know, like I said, it all doesn't matter if you convert your red zone field goals into touchdowns.
Yeah, the third down play was so crazy. Even Nance and Romo were completely confused. Everyone in the stadium was confused. Because at first you're like, all right, it's fourth down, they'll punt. No, maybe they go for it. Wait, it's still only third down? They're going to get the play again? Dude, your head coach lost his mind. I can only imagine your household. If I could add up a camera to see your face, it would have been priceless. I hope you know that.
It was not great. My daughter decided to fall asleep in the next room, and I don't know if she was asleep or not when she heard the repeated F-bombs come out of my mouth. I hope so. But, you know,
that was bad.
It was not good.
That play with Burrow, you're right. The running back is right there, and he threw him. And you know what's interesting was there were multiple times with the strategy where Burrow was just throwing it into the dirt to just like, all right, we'll play for the next play. He threw it at P. Ryan. That was a horrible call. So I hope you know you're not alone. I thought that as well.
Yeah. The sad thing about that play and every other screen they tried to run, because that was, you're right, Burrow seemed to clock it into the ground four or five times on screens, and that's something the Bengals definitely need to work on this offseason, because it wasn't just in the AFC Championship game. It was all season. Their screen game was abysmal, and that's something they really need to address and fix in this offseason, is to get that back into as part of their offensive game plan.
All right, I'll give you one positive. The fourth down play when Burrow hits, who does he hit? Higgins? Or is it Jamar Chase who catches in double coverage at the 5-yard line? That was positive for you, right? Where you're fist pumping.
Oh, no doubt about it. It was very reminiscent to last year against the Chiefs in the regular season when Burrow just rolls out and throws it, and he said, F it, Jamar's down there somewhere, and that's kind of the similar situation as what happened here. Jamar Chase is just, he's so good. T. Higgins is so good, and you really hope that they can extend T. Higgins in this offseason or after next offseason, because I want to keep those two receivers together as long as possible.
I'll tell you right now, after losing that heartbreaking game last night, next year is we got to get home field advantage. We don't want to go on the road again. Let's get it through our stadium. That's got to be the outlook for next season, right? Super Bowl at bust, and you go through Cincinnati.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's definitely. I mean, you prove you can win on the road. That's great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you want to get that game at home because that. I mean, that Arrowhead was loud last night, and, you know, that's definitely something that if you're at home, you think you can swing, you know, you're going to get that advantage with the crowd noise and everything, because it played a big factor in the game last night. You could see Burrow visibly yelling the plays in the huddle last night. It was for sure a factor.
All right, let's go to the NFC. Let's do this. We were talking about this off the air. I'm here with Brian Bosarge, Draft Countdown. Okay, what draft was Jalen Hurts drafted in as he's now going to be starting in the Super Bowl?
The 2020 draft class may be looked upon as one of the best quarterback draft classes we've seen in some time. You had Joe Burrow go number one. Tua, if not for the injury or his concussions, we'd be talking about him, you know, the Dolphins maybe make a better run into the playoffs. Justin Herbert was the sixth overall pick in that draft class. And then you had the next quarterback selected was Jalen Hurts, about halfway through the second round. And he, once he's taken over as a starter, it's been just absolutely tremendous for them. He fits the off. They've tailor-made their offense to take advantage of his skill set, because it's very hard to double those two wide receivers. A.J. Brown is just built like a tank. And then Devontae Smith is so fast and great in the open field. But they run the ball so well that those guys are basically almost running wide open whenever they decide to throw. They've tailor-made their offense for Jalen Hurts, and it's worked out perfectly. And now they're going to be in the Super Bowl. And can't say that I'm not pulling for them to win this game, because I'm pretty bitter, you know, Mark. I'm that kind of guy.
I see that. So Alabama's draft class for quarterbacks, like their quarterback room was Tua, Jalen Hurts, and the guy on what's
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. That's what I was thinking of. That's got to be the best quarterback room ever, right, for a college football team.
Yeah, and then not long after that, they bring in Bryce Young, who's probably a top five pick in this year's class.
It's a good point. It really is. What was your evaluation of Jalen Hurts going into that draft then?
I had him exactly, I had him maybe as the 40th or 45th, somewhere in that range, player in that draft class, and that's about where he got drafted. So I felt like I had him pretty pegged on, you know, what he was. He's obviously outplayed his draft position, but he's developed well. And if another thing this ought to tell college recruits or high school players or whatever, go to Lincoln Riley. Because was Jalen Hurts going to be drafted in the second round and be developed as an NFL passer at Alabama? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But he goes to transfers to Oklahoma, gets under Lincoln Riley. All of a sudden now he's becomes an NFL draft prospect. Makes you feel good about, you know, that evaluation of Caleb Williams for the 2024 draft class as well, yeah. If I had to say that.
What works for Jalen Hurts in your eyes at the NFL level?
He just, like I said, he's not asked to do, you know, anything extraneous. You know, if the play's not there, he takes off and runs. It's like you said, I'm not going to say it's a simple concept for him, but they've tailor-made the offense to around him. And that's why a lot of these NFL offense coordinators or NFL teams fail, is instead of taking the talented player and molding our offense around them, they said, no, you're gonna do it our way. And, you know, you see these guys fail. So, like I said, he's basically, they made the offense, like I said, for him, and it just works.
Who did they take in the first round of that draft? Was it, I'm trying to make sure I have this correct here. Did they make a bunch of trades? Okay, I'm trying to see. Did the Eagles, so they took Jalen Hurts, and did they have a first-round pick? I'm looking. They took Jalen, is it Rager, the wide receiver from TCU? So when did they take? Oh, so then they took the Bama wide receiver in 2021. Okay, I'm just trying to think. So,
yes.
Okay, you were talking about the Chiefs, right, with Devontae Smith. So the Chiefs did it with this draft, but talk about the job that the Eagles did in the last couple of drafts to build this team.
Right, so the year they drafted Hurts, they took Jalen Rager and one pick before Justin Jefferson, by the way.
Oh,
you know, so and three picks ahead of Brandon Ayuk, so also ahead of T. Higgins, who went in the top of the second round of that draft. Mistakes were made by Philadelphia in that, but they played off of it. No, their draft class has been great. They had four guys this year with double digit sacks. They attacked free agency well to basically fill in the gaps of where they haven't, didn't have guys. They went out and, you know, signed or traded for, you know, low-rent guys that are chasing a ring, like Ndamukong Suh, bringing him in mid-season just to give them that rotational piece up the middle. They have built that team strong on defense. They play great D. And like I said, you've got they make the trade last year. They give up the one for A.J. Brown. Obviously, that has worked out because they had to basically pay for their mistake of drafting Jalen Rager. And they made up for it with the A.J. Brown trade and extension.
Here's what's crazy about yesterday. Devontae Smith, 2 catches. A.J. Brown, 4 catches. And they scored 31 points yesterday. It was a balanced running attack. Would you do that if you were putting a team together, you felt like you're close? Would you trade a first-round pick for a big-time veteran wide receiver like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think that's what you're missing, you make that play. And if you think you're one or two players away, what were they going to get at pick 21 or whatever it was last year that was going to be better than A.J. Brown? That's kind of how – you know, and I hate to say it because I'm in the draft business, but, you know, sometimes we overvalue these draft picks. It's just similar to MLB with prospects. Fans get attached to these prospects that, you know, 7 times out of 10 don't work out. So, but you can trade those guys for a veteran. And we need to start looking at especially those mid-round picks. You see this all the time. Yeah. The 49ers trading a fifth-round pick for Trent Williams. I mean, who were they going to draft in the fifth round that's anywhere as close to Trent Williams? Nobody. Make those deals. More GMs need to be smarting up about this.
It's a great point. When Brock Purdy went down, were you like me, where you're like, okay, what's the next quarterback they have to pull this off? Like, what were you thinking?
I actually wasn't home yet but I saw the news when I got back home, and I'm like, oh, that's not great. That's not great. And then poor Josh Johnson, well, he's been on 17 teams, been playing in the league for like 14 years, and they just could not move the ball with him at all. I expect, because, you know, the NFL is a very reactionary league. I think when they have the owners meeting in May or March or whenever they have it, that you're going to see a rule change for next year that you can have a third quarterback inactive, but you can put, which I think that used to be allowed. And yeah. I think they changed it. I think they're going to change that back to where if you have a third quarterback inactive on game day, if you put him in the game, you know, the other two quarterbacks can't come back in, but you can have that third quarterback come in because, you know, they don't want to, in an NFC championship game where there's going to be 50 million people probably watched that game yesterday, and you've got Christian McCaffrey taking snaps under center. That's not good for the league, right?
All right. If you're the Niners, and this is going to be asked about for the next like 3 months, who do you have as your starter next season? And then do you trade one of those other guys? Like, what do you do exactly if you're the Niners?
My assumption is Garoppolo is going to get paid by somebody as a free agent, be it Washington, Carolina, somebody like that that's got money to spend. I think you're going to see Garoppolo move on. I think they're going to have a legit competition whenever Trey Lance is healthy enough to go between him and Purdy, and go with that, and then maybe trade or just keep Purdy. I mean, because at this point, if Purdy doesn't, like if you go with Trey Lance again next year, why wouldn't you keep Brock Purdy as your backup? You're paying him pennies.
It's a good point. I feel like you can get a lot for Trey Lance, but I think maybe that is the best scenario to go with. I like what you just said right there. Because they gave up, they traded up with the Dolphins. Didn't they give up multiple first round picks to go get Trey Lance?
Yes, their pick in the first round this year is actually now Denver's first round pick because it was Miami's, and Miami gave it up to Denver for Bradley Chubb. Mm-hmm. So their pick this year actually is gone, and there may be another pick. I think maybe their second round pick too is gone as well. So it's they gave up a lot to move up for Trey Lance, and that's why I think they're going to stay invested in him.
Let's end with this with Brian Bosarge with Draft Countdown. I appreciate coming on. I know it's not easy to have these conversations. I know you're close, man. Should we go to the draft in Kansas City? Like, should we get in the car and should we go there and do it to go see the draft?
You know, I've always said if they take this show on the road to New Orleans, I'm probably going to go just to experience it for sure. Because New Orleans is a 2-hour ride for me.
Yeah,
Kansas City, I'm probably not making that trip.
If we could get flights for like $150 round trip, are you listening? Okay, I don't even know how we get to Kansas City from Florida. Like, is it direct flight? Do I have to go to Dallas? I don't even know. I've never been there.
My guess is you're going through Atlanta because everything goes through Atlanta.
Especially where you're at. Exactly right. We have to get press credentials. Because if we don't, like, if we go as fans, I imagine we'll be 3 miles down the road with the line of people trying to watch it. That's what I imagine. Check out Draft Countdown for the latest on everything the NFL draft and football in general, especially with the Senior Bowl going on right now there in Mobile. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Mark.